Can you all hear me?
Amen.
If you can't hear me during the message, raise your hand in the back. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So good to be at the College Dream.
Amen.
I'm standing here in front of all of you, and I'm just really happy because this is one place that the enemy is very scared of.
Amen.
Come to the meetings.
Amen.
Come to the college training.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Well, as you know, at the beginning of each academic year, sometimes maybe every academic semester, certain instructors like to give pop quizzes. And the reason is because they kind of want to know what you already know and what you don't yet know. So we're going to have a pop quiz. Okay. Is that okay? We have a little pop quiz?
Yes.
How about us have all of us stand up? And turn to, open your Bibles. It's an open book, so very easy. Open your Bibles to Matthew. Some of you already memorized this verse, I know. Matthew 28:19. And let's read that together with an exercise spirit.
Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
One more time.
Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to ask all the serving ones to sit down,
please.
All the serving ones.
Oh, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Our turn will come one day. Okay, so can I have a tall brother, maybe this brother? Can you count how many are standing in these two sections? And then maybe another brother. Is there a brother in the back?
Maybe not.
Maybe this brother. Can you count the saints in your section? And then one more. How about Dion? Can you count these two sections? And then give me the number. Whenever you're ready, you can give me the number.
24.
Okay.
33.
40.
Okay. What does that make? 97?
Yeah, 97.
97. Hallelujah!
Amen.
The maximum score possible is 97. Okay. Now, we all know that the Lord spoke, Matthew 28:19, right? This is the Lord. And He's commissioned us to go and preach the gospel, to disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the triune God. So the pop quiz this morning is, have we done that? Right? Have we done that? Have we done that successfully? So I'd like you to consider, in your Christian life so far, whether you have actually led another human being to receive Christ. You may say, oh, this is very elementary. It is. But it is very important that we actually do it, and that even we have a little bit of success. So consider, doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where, as long as you were there helping another human being actually receive Jesus Christ. By calling, by praying, receiving the Lord, now they have eternal life. Hallelujah!
Amen.
If you have never done so successfully, right? You have never led another human being to actually receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now please sit down. Can we have the brothers count again? I think that makes 61. Oh, Lord. not sure if that's 90% or not. But, oh, Lord.
Amen.
So some of us, praise the Lord, we're taking this test together corporately, right?
Right.
Some of us, I would say, maybe we need a kind of remedial instruction. Okay? But we may not have a lot of time this morning. I would say, if you have never actually successfully led another person to Christ, you have two things you must remember. Number one, you must do so.
Amen.
You must do so. Amen. This is not an option. Yes. The Lord didn't say, oh, you could do this or you don't have to do it. It's up to you. He didn't say that. He says, go. There's no argument there. It's one word, two letters. Go. Right? Go. So we have to go. Whether we're good at it, whether we're not good at it, whether we're burdened, we're not burdened. Actually, we need to become desperate.
Amen.
Especially, again, if you have never actually done it before. And you say, how do I do this? Well, sorry, we don't have time to cover this morning. Maybe you can find a companion. Maybe you can find an older saint in your locality and say, how do I do this? I've never done this before. Can you help me? Maybe we can go together, you know, something. And also, I give you a hymn number 930. Okay, hymn number 930 in your hymnal. Please look at that. Please sing that and hopefully be inspired by it. Amen. Let's go on. How about two or more? If you have led two or more to receive the Lord in your whole life so far, you can remain standing. Otherwise, sit down. Two or more. Can we get a count? Eight. What is that?
33.
Thank you. 33. Okay. Let's do another count. How about five or more? One.
Two.
Two.
Five.
Two. Okay, it's getting easier. 10 or more. No one? Okay. Well, that's okay. We have different kinds of accounting maybe sometimes. But praise the Lord. It looks like we are maybe right here. Corporately.
Yeah.
One. It's better than zero. Praise the Lord. We are one. But every year, maybe we can go up a little bit more.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Can the brother maybe take this down for me? Okay, let's come to the outline. This is morning session. Morning session two.
Right now?
Yeah, can somebody write that down for me? These are 97.
Yeah.
61, 35. Okay, let's read this general title and topic together. Participating
in the Lord's move on campuses.
Preaching the gospel by being filled with God as love. Okay, let's read that second part again.
Preaching the gospel by being filled with God as love.
What does God desire? Straight A students, right? That's what he wants. No, the Bible tells us God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved.
Amen.
He actually wants this to happen. He actually wants this to happen. Point A, brothers, how about you read that?
God desires all men to be saved because he considers every man to be precious and worthy of love and service, including unsaved ones and those who have no knowledge of God.
Amen. He considers every man to be precious. Why is that? He created them with a human spirit. That is so valuable to the Lord. He considers every man to be precious and worthy of love and service, including unsaved ones and those who have no knowledge of God. why do you think that corporately, maybe at this point, we don't preach the gospel that much? Or another way to say it is, we're not that successful at helping others receive the Lord. What do you think is the main reason? A lot of questions this morning. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. She said, our heart doesn't match God's. God loves men, but we don't. At least not all men. Probably only a select few we like or love. But it's very interesting. Look in the outline. Point B here says, we see in the book of Jonah, God intended to judge an evil city called Nineveh, but actually he intended to save them. God needed to judge them because they were evil. However, God's real desire in his heart is to save them. And so I know many of you have been in a children's meeting, so you know the story of Jonah. But quickly, Jonah, he was the Jehovah God told him, I want you to go here to preach the gospel to this evil city. And he basically said, no, I'm not going to do that. So he got on the ship, and then he went in the opposite direction. Then, eventually, there was a big storm. He fell into the sea, or they threw him over, and then he was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. And eventually, the fish spit him out at that city that he was supposed to preach the gospel in. This is a very reluctant gospel preacher. Extremely reluctant, possibly racist. Yeah. At the very least, strongly prejudiced against the people that he was supposed to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
He did not want to save me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person Jonah was. Wow. Then you say, well, you know, I'm really not that bad. I'm not racist. I know I'm not supposed to be racist. And I'm not that prejudiced. I love, you know, I get along with everybody. But maybe we should consider, are we practically speaking Jonahs? Practically speaking. Do we actually preach the gospel? If we are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom, who is preaching the gospel? Okay, let us go on and let's read point C together.
We as God's children should be one with our Father in his love for sinners. We need to have a loving concern for the salvation of sinners.
So we say, yeah, actually, I don't really care that much, you know. I don't really care that much what happens to the people around me. I mean, we're acquaintances, we're not really close friends. And maybe we don't say it, but our attitude is, I could care less. I'm more worried about my grades. I'm more concerned about what internships I might get next summer. You know, am I in the right classes? And I'm more concerned about maybe having a little downtime to myself and, you know, having a little fun here and there and hanging out with my friends. Well, all those things, they really get in the way of the Great Commission. They seem like little things. They're not obvious things like Jonah, possibly racist, right? But they're little things that have the same exact effect.
Yeah.
Because the people are there, but we are going here, right? The people are out there, but we are even our door is shut, and we don't want anybody to bother us. Right? I don't know if some of you know this song. I don't sing it a lot, but unfortunately it describes my reality. There's a song that I made up. It goes something like this. Let me just a hermit be. I don't bother thee, thee don't bother me. This is new to you? This, you've never heard this before? Is that true? Well, it's true of me. I know it's true of me. Please don't bother. And I won't bother you. There's a lot of things wrong with this song. Okay, we gotta correct it. But anyway, let the Lord shine into our heart. We don't actually love people. We don't actually care that much. Maybe if they're really, 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 really nice to us, we might care a little bit. But our heart is corrupt. Our heart is evil. We are the same as those people in Nineveh. But we don't know it. So sometimes God has to come and shine on us and convince us. He tried to convince Jonah. Did you know that? The book of Jonah is more about Jonah and less about the Ninevites. Read the last verse. Does somebody have the last verse of Jonah? Can you read that? And then I'll sit down pretty soon after this. What does the last verse of Jonah say? Maybe a couple of brothers, you have to, can you read it? This is God speaking, right?
And I not have pity on Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and many cattle.
Is that right? Is that the last verse of Nineveh?
Yeah.
It sounds right, but it's actually a little bit off. Right at the very end. Can you read the very end again?
And many cattle?
Yeah. That's right. That's the verse. It's not a period. It's a question. The question is, God says, I care a lot. But do you care? Do you care? That's the question to Jonah. Jonah didn't answer, at least not in the book of Jonah. Possibly racist. But anyway, the Lord's trying, you know? The Lord's trying. Hey, you know, I care. Do you care? If you care, would your attitude be like this? Would you be preoccupied with this tree, you know, that died? No, you wouldn't care. You would just preach the gospel. Okay? Amen. I think my time is actually kind of up. Praise the Lord. The Lord loves people.
Amen.
I don't love people that much. Sometimes I fake it a little bit, but you know, I really don't care. So in order to actually preach the gospel with the heart of love, I have to contact the Lord first.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That this line is not mainly for us to give you some kind of inspiring speaking or instructions. Rather, we like to touch this burden together. So at this point, we ask a few students who had experience in this regard. They may want to share a few minutes. Can you come up? But I just want to share one men are worthy of our love. Not because we love them first, but because God loves them. Man is the entity whom God can dispense himself, and man is the only person on the earth who can accomplish God's will. So man, God loves man. So that's why God, the verse says, God is love. If we really contact God as love, we start to cultivate our love for man.
Amen.
So I know, you know, I'm very guilty too. Actually, I'm not different from you. I don't want to be bothered. I try my best not to bother you, even though I cannot help it, but bother you. But I don't want to bother you. But I don't want to be bothered by you. But actually, God's attitude is the opposite. God wants to be bothered by man.
Amen.
Why? God loves man. God loves man so much that not only just to be bothered, God decided to die for man. That's the love we are talking about this morning. Anyway, this student like to share a little bit. And then I can continue to share my portion. Go ahead.
Hello, okay. My name is Daniel Kim, and
I go to the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign right here. I will be a junior this fall semester. And I just like to share just a little bit, just a testimony this past year on our campus concerning this message. And it's a very sobering word. We need to understand that God has a heart, that God has a heart for man, and sometimes we don't. That's often my feeling. Every time we go out preaching the gospel, or every time we have to go take care of a new one, always there's a feeling in my heart, it's just, I don't want to do this, you know. I have other things that I want to do. You know, I want to take care of my school, my schooling. I want to take care of my grades. I want to take care of this and that. And it's very selfish of us. It's selfish of us to feel this way. So I'm just very, but I'd like to share though, this past year I've had to contact a brother, and he was already a Christian, but he was an incoming freshman last year, and we got to meet him. And I just like to share that, you know, in taking care of some new ones, we need to have God's love being poured out onto this one. I know that in myself that I have no desire really to want to talk to anyone really. I really don't care. You know, sometimes I just feel so busy with school. You know, we're all college students. We often feel really busy. So we feel like I need to take care of this. And sometimes I prioritize that over taking care of this brother. But hallelujah. What we need to do is we need to just continue to contact the mingled spirit.
Amen.
It's through that, it's through our heart matching God's heart that we can possibly have this heart for man.
Amen.
So thankfully, my testimony this past semester, you know, there were a lot of things I could have done better probably in taking care of this new one, contacting him more often. But praise the Lord that this brother is going on to the Lord.
Amen.
And we all are going on to the Lord.
Amen.
So thank you for this word.
Amen.
That we need to, our heart needs to match God's heart.
Amen.
Amen. So my name is Joshua Kim, and I'll be a freshman at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign here. And so I'd like to just read a verse that was kind of my experience during this past, I guess, school year back in my locality since I'm not yet on campus. It's Mark 3:20, and it says, "And he came into a house, and again a crowd came together, so that they could not even eat bread. And when his relatives heard about it, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself." And this verse really touched me, and actually in a footnote, and I believe it's 2 Corinthians, it says the phrase, "he's beside himself," means that he's mad or even foolish solely for God's glory. So this was I was really impressed by this, that, you know, he could not even eat at this house. It was filled with so many people. He didn't care for his own need. He was foolish, mad for God's glory.
Amen.
And so, actually, in my locality, I attend the church in Oakland. Brother Robert is there also. And about a year ago, I'd say, he brought up this matter, fellowship, that we should go out every Lord's Day to preach the gospel, door knocking, around my house, actually. Because there were district meetings at my house for the church in Oakland. So, you know, at first I was like, oh, praise the Lord. But I was a little bit, I'm obviously scared, considering, like, oh, I know almost everybody that lives on this block. They see me almost every day at school or something like that. So at first I was a little bit, you know, I was obviously scared and anxious to go out. But, you know, as we fellowship more, he brought up that, you know, we don't have to go out and knock and preach the gospel to everybody. We could hand them a free recovery version offer. Or actually, we started bringing out little children with us, invite them to children's meetings. Actually, some of my experience is that I went with this little boy. His name is Connor. He was 7 at the time. I went out with him a couple times. He's the cutest little boy. He's so fun to be around. I just love being around this little boy. He's just really shepherded me in this experience, actually. He always asks during these table meetings, oh, when are we going to go out to knock on doors? Can we go out and talk to some people? And that's, I realized, you know, he had this type of heart in Mark 3. And he didn't even want to play or eat or, you know, mess around, tackle his little brothers. Because he had a heart, you know, maybe he just really liked interacting with different people, but he had this mad, foolish love for God's glory.
And
so this really has shepherded me in my experience that, you know, if such a little boy, 7, 8 years old, can go out and really just want to reach other people and say, "Hi, my name is Connor. I'd like to invite you to this children's Bible club that I'm in. You know, it's really been a touching experience. So I think this is carried over in my practice of the cold gospel, especially that I can knock on doors and be foolish and mad for God's glory, beside myself. So I think just being with the little children, going out and practicing the cold gospel, it's really opened me up, especially being with another person. Yeah, this is actually my biological brother. Matthew chapter 10, the Lord sent the apostles out by two, and actually sent some out by biological brothers as well. So I think coming this fall, I think I could be built up with him, and we could really go out and recognize his need and really be used to the Lord.
My name is Ijama Ime, and I'm from Bloomington. I just graduated from Illinois State University. I was actually the only student in Blood Recovery on my campus. And 3 years ago when I got to my campus, I realized that there was a great need for many more students to be on my campus. But I didn't have the boldness to go out by myself while preaching the gospel. It was something I wouldn't normally do, but the Lord's love constrained me. And he touched me to see that he loves every student on my campus, and he doesn't want any to perish, and neither should I. And so last summer and last fall, two couples came to my campus. And so twice a week, me and another sister went out for an hour to preach the gospel. And over time, preaching the gospel, it wasn't a duty anymore, it wasn't a burden. It became such a joy. The Christ to me and the other sister I was with was being spent to others. Amen. And over time, by the end of the semester, I realized that in order to preach the gospel, we need to have a heart for man. This love for man doesn't come from ourselves, it comes from the love of God.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, let's read. Read Roman numeral 1 and 2 together, summarize all the chapters. Go, Roman numeral 1.
God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved.
Who?
God is love. In order to love people, we need God's life and God's nature of love to transform us and supply us so that we may live out this God and express His love.
So don't be bothered by your present condition concerning people, how much you don't love people. Just stop yourself, turn your heart, and contact the Lord.
Amen.
Our God is love.
Amen.
Once you touch God in a living way, God Himself as a nature and element of love infused into your heart.
Amen.
Your heart slowly turning to people.
Amen.
Especially this word, I want you to pay attention to cultivating. Cultivation to love man.
Like
no one born to love somebody else. We were born to love ourselves. That's a fact. Especially, I'm born, I have five older siblings. That means I am youngest. Out of six, I have about over 100 relatives. So before I got saved, I thought there are two universes. But one universe is more important than the other. There's the physical universe, meaning the star or galaxy. I don't understand what it means. Any such a thing. And another universe is me. I'm the most important person in my family, the most important person in anything. So anything related to myself is most important. Anything related to somebody else, I simply didn't care. Until I got saved.
Wow,
I touched God's love. God Himself is real love.
Amen.
And God started to touch my heart, bother my heart about why I don't love other human beings. So anyway, this morning, one particular burden is don't pay attention to your present condition.
Amen.
We have God living in our spirit.
Amen.
We love all men.
Amen.
All kinds of men. So that will be the very important part. I'd like to give you one testimony at this point about my own experience. I met this student years ago. He, on the first week of the school, and then he tried to talk to me, and I tried to talk to him back, and within a few minutes, I realized I'd like to get away from this guy. Because he looks very wild and very argumental, and there are a lot of reasoning and questions I don't think I could handle. So I said, so-and-so is good, and then, but see you later. And then that afternoon, I ran into him again. And he ran to me, he tried to talk to me again. And then I tried to talk to him a few minutes. And then at the end, good to talk to you. See you later. Next day I went to campus again, I ran to him again. So I kind of feel a little bit bothered a little bit. And then he tried to talk to me again. Hi Andrew, how's it going? What did you eat breakfast? And then inwardly, I really don't want to talk to you. So I talked a few minutes. Okay, not see you later, maybe long time later. And the next day I met with him again. I really, my heart got started to be bothered, not by him, by the Lord. Question is, why you don't want to take care of him? My response is, Lord, look at him. This guy tried to argue with him, look at him. So I thought the Lord got convinced by me, so I ran him again, a few minutes talked. And then at the end I said, I hope you have a good time at this campus. Even I didn't say see you again. Next day, it's the fifth time, I ran into him again.
Wow.
That's the time I really struggled before the Lord.
Wow.
Lord really spoke, why you don't want to take care of me? And then Lord reminded me that, you said to look at him, but you think about yourself before you got saved. Anyway, I got subdued by his love and started to talk to him. I had a little bit difficult time, as I expected. A lot of time, argument and everything. Anyway, he's doing very well in the church life.
Amen.
Serving young people and ministering Christ to the saints. Even it took only 12 years to get to the point. So it took about 12 years for him to be very good. But then whenever I saw him, I always wrote him, consider how much I love him. So, you know, it's not so much what we can love people or not. It's a matter of whether we touch God's heart. Once we touch God's heart, I want, and then we read Romans number 3 together.
If we have a burden, care, and interest for people, the Lord will open the door for us to speak the gospel to them.
Okay, stop there. I want you to highlight the word burden. And the second one is care. And third word is interest. Taking care of people, loving people is not so much how much you are skillful about it. Most important thing is you have a burden for man. If you don't have a burden for man, contact the Lord, ask God, give you a burden for people.
Amen.
God is happy to answer that kind of prayer.
Amen.
God is interested in people.
Amen.
Any kind of people. So, first one is a burden, and then you don't have to do it too well. You just care for people. If people want to walk with you, you just walk with them. If they are thirsty, drink coke together. If they want to play basketball, play with them. People know who cares for them.
Yeah.
So this word, everything living, responds to care.
Amen.
Everything living on the earth, even plants, responds to care. I'll give you another short testimony. My wife was out of town a few weeks, So she told me that, honey, would you take care of these three plants? Don't worry, honey. Have a good tree. When you come back, plant will be wonderful. So she left. So I did exactly what she said. But I couldn't tell, day by day, these plants are dying. I did exactly what she said, but dying. And then finally, I was fearing, trembling. He said, the Lord is coming back. My wife is coming back. Living plant, you cannot fabricate it. It's just dying, it's just dying. There's nothing you can do about it. But anyway, she came back. She looked at me, happy. But she looked at the plant, unhappy. Anyway, make long story short, and then she didn't say anything more. And then anyway, I just. And then she came back, and then she started to take care of the plant. Seemingly, doing the exact same thing which I did. What I did, plants are dying. But day passing by, plant is living again. And I just thought, what's the difference? one difference, later on, my wife, she and I, we talked one thing we realized. I didn't care about plants. I just followed the instruction. But she did care for plants. So because of that, not only she poured water, she looked at the plant. It is sun is needed. Move the plant to the sun. Oh, too much sun? Move the plant to the shade. And then at night, in the morning, afternoon, if you care for something, you spend time to consider their condition, and then whether more water, less water, fertilizer, sunshine, you consider that. I honestly didn't care about that plant. I just wanted to fulfill my duty so that my marriage life is continuing. But that didn't work. So when we take care of people, not so much we follow Lord's kind of method this moment. We don't try to give you a method. We want to touch God's heart. God cares for people. Once we touch God's heart, we care for people. Okay, I need to be brief, and then burden interest for people, the Lord will open. Lord will open, not may. Lord, Bible says very clearly, the Lord will open door for you to speak the gospel to them. Okay, Lord will. So, now, another main burden is, who is the best one to preach the gospel, take care of people on college campus? Dave, can you come?
I'm not good.
Of course you are not. I know. That's why I need your example as a worst case. Okay. Look. They love you. Okay. Okay. Do you think we are the best on college campus? We call the union. We set up a table. We prepare cookie and then we try to present. Do you think we are the best one? Or how about these two brothers? Standing right there.
Yeah.
So how about these brothers set up the table, visit the people on college campus? Which one is better? Who do you choose? Which group you are? Okay. So it's not too hard to figure out.
Yeah.
Campus is your campus.
Yeah, that's right.
You are the best one.
Yeah.
Actually, they don't need professional care. They just need your care according to your capacity.
Yeah.
It's all it took. Fine, all will take. So you don't need to be try to become who you are not. If you are a student, be student and be with a fellow student, and then open up whatever you really have within you. If you experience Christ in any aspect, you just open up, minister the aspect you really experience and enjoy to your fellow friend with a love and care. Believe me, your friends waiting for you.
Amen.
Your friends are really waiting for you to say even one word. Why? That's all the human beings desire. They want to know God. Until they know God, their life is meaningless. We're not talking about going to hell and those kind of things. But don't you want to help your friend to find the meaning of their lives?
Right.
Meaning of their life is they have a human spirit. Their spirit is supposed to fill with God's spirit. After they are filled with God's spirit, they enjoy God. And then by growing in life and transform, eventually part of the God's building. Fellow members of the body of Christ. That's their meaning of their life. But they need you. If I speak the same thing to them, they're scared to run away from me. But if you speak the same thing as a student, they said, wow, I find the meaning of my life. Okay, so I think I'd like to really impress this one again. You are the best one.
Amen.
And then don't try to be who you are not. It's okay, you don't need the Bible verse too much, even though you need to read the Bible. You don't have to read the whole Bible to take care of people. With what you have, with what you enjoy, just bring Christ with you, and people are waiting for you. So, now my last point is, when is the best time? When is the best time? Huh? Isn't it last kind of fresh? Trying to convince you, sit down, you know, give you all. It's very simple. Fresh. Why fresh is the best? Number one, they are not occupied.
True.
Number two, what is it? They're open to anything.
Yeah.
I'm still a man. I'm going to college campus. I've been going there. Even I ask something. And they all of them, they give me their cell phone number. Many times I think, do you know what you are doing? I don't say it. Okay, people like me and ask a freshman, they give cell phone number, email, in some cases, home address. If I really say, even they are ready to give a social security number. Why? They are open, unoccupied, and they are open to experience something new. The freshman is the best time. Isn't it good for them to experience Christ first?
Amen.
Before they touch anything strange on college campus? So why don't we spend our time, pray, coordinate, make ourselves ready.
Amen.
To contact God-prepared freshmen.
Amen.
Make them God-filled vessel.
Amen.
For God's purpose.
Amen.
Doesn't sound so meaningful to you?
Amen.
So to me, just, even though I'm not the best one, whenever I think about it, this makes my blood a little bit flow faster than usual. So I go to campus every year.
Amen.
Hopefully, at least one person open to me. But if one person open to me, which that means 10 people will open. You just have heart for this burden. Fresh minister. So we open this matter to you. This is summer, before your school start. If it's different locale, different coordinates, if you can come together early, fellowship,
amen.
Prayer, make yourself a little bit ready with the love and okay, respond. Think about it. One time your sacred, even I would not use it, let's say you use your sacred, a few days or a few weeks, you give up your enjoyment to be available on campus. You change these young people's life destiny.
Yay.
I give you one bad, not good testimony, but the reason I decided to serve full time on college campus, because I didn't know the Lord and Bible when I was in campus. I got to know the Lord. I started reading the Bible after I finished college. As of today, I never got rid of this thought. I didn't complain to the Lord because the Lord gave me a chance, but I'm the one who chose not to. I'm always feeling of regret why I didn't pursue the Lord when I was in college. Why I didn't read the Bible when I was in college. This is the prime time. If I respond to the Lord's a little bit calling, probably not only I got saved, my many here, my friends, I had a lot of friends, however, some of them might be saved to be one with God's purpose. So this is the time. This is the best time.
Amen.
And you are the best one.
Amen.
We are looking for beginning of the best time. Bring, we can gain all God prepared best of freshmen into God's purpose.
Amen.
This time, how many people? We have 100 students. I projected last year, but I'd like to project again. How about we make it next year, instead of 100 students, if all of you gain one or two more person,
right,
and then bring one with you next year, all of you coming back to college training next year, right?
Yeah.
Are you coming back next year?
Yeah. Okay.
And then bring one more with you. What's going to happen number here? 200 students. And then next one is 400. Next one is 800. And then Lord will come back. Did you touch my burden?
Amen.
Are you the best one?
Amen.
This fall is the best timing?
Amen.
Are you going to depend on serving one? Of course, you need to depend on them to shepherd you. But you are the best one. So anyway, my time is already quite up, and I'd like to ask our brother Samuel, has a little testimony, and then we can give students the testimony. So by the way, the plant is still living in our house.
Amen. My name is Sam Liu. I go to school here in Champaign, and I just finished my freshman year. This summer, I was doing the church internship.
Hold the mic.
Your best eyes don't call.
So this summer, I was doing a church internship here in Champaign, and one of the things we did all throughout the month of June was set up tables to meet the freshmen. And here in Champaign, our freshman orientation is throughout the whole month of June. So every single weekday, we were out there sitting at the table, trying to talk to them. And it's was really hot, and some of the freshmen and their family are pretty mean sometimes, but looking back on it, I think all of us that were interning to say the only reason we were out there was because we realized that we needed to give it to the freshmen. If there was anyone we were going to get on the campus, it was going to be the freshmen, because they're the most open, they're the most ready to receive, and they just didn't know what was going on, so if we just gave them anything, they would probably look at it too. So I was just looking at Roman numeral 4, it says we need to pick up a burden, but picking up a burden isn't just walking along and we find a burden and pick it up. To pick up a burden, we have to go to the Lord. We can't have what the Lord, we can't be like the Lord, we can't know what He wants, we can't get what He wants if we don't first know Him and know what He wants. And we were fortunate because we were able to go to Austin and they had a conference all about the need to gain the freshmen, the students to step up to do this burden. But the main point I want to stress is that even though we were students, even though we weren't very effective when we were trying to get freshmen every time, we were diligent, and then by the end, even though each day it didn't look very prosperous, by the end we were diligent and we managed over 100 freshman contacts, just by presenting ourselves according to this burden, giving ourselves to the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord was faithful to just give us contacts, just by being there, not by really being all gung-ho and gaining everyone that we talk to, but just by being there, the Lord really opens the way for them just to come to you.
Yeah.
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 Let's read the focus together while one's those who have a burden of desire to prophesy to one another.
Yes.
Focus.
Focus together.
The Catholic years are a unique opportunity to preach the gospel. We should allow God as love to fill us so that we will love others and carry out his desire that all men would be saved.
Okay, so I want to speak, why don't you come up?